Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. I am the Reverend Dr. Bessie Walton Wiggins from Heathsville, Virginia. My pastor is the Reverend Dr. John S. Fontaine of the First Baptist Church. And this is the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. Good evening, my sisters and brothers. This is the day that the Lord hath made, and I am grateful to be a part of it. Truly, I thank Apostle Marjorie Mercer and the Reverend Bernard Reed for this opportunity to speak this evening from the title, An Attitude of Gratitude. Scripture, Luke 17:15-19, NIV version. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Let us pray. All wise and everlasting God, our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to say a word on your behalf. We thank you, O God, and invite your Holy Spirit to come and dwell with us. And Lord, I pray for a fresh anointing. I pray, Lord, for each person on this line that they will receive something that will encourage them to always look to Jesus for everything that they want, their need. And, Lord, we just want to thank you this evening for being with us and blessing us on this special day. These blessings we pray and ask in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. Gratitude has been shown to have positive effects on increased happiness. That's long-lasting. Increased energy, improved sleep, improved cardiovascular health, reduced feelings of depression, less chronic pain, reduced blood pressure, enhanced resiliency, helps to regulate stress, more optimistic, more motivated, stronger, more connected relationships, increased connection to yourself, others, and the world around us. And, of course, it enhances empathy. I feel like I could go on, but I leave it there. There are many positive and healthy benefits, as we can see. It's also important to know that this is a gradual development. Although gratitude will help you feel good in the moment, you won't feel dramatic changes overnight. But slowly with time, practice, patience, and consistency, you will begin to notice the changes in yourself and your body. For example, you may encounter a negative experience and notice that your mental strength and resilience is stronger. You may notice that you're navigating, combating, and bouncing back from negative emotions and stressful situations with more ease. You'll find that you're able to handle change better than you used to. You'll find gratitude is helping you in many small moments. Developing an attitude of gratitude can help you in so many ways. So let's discuss some exercises that you can begin to incorporate this practice. Is that okay with you? Gratitude practice exercises. It's easy to feel grateful when something good happens. We all can witness to that. That's really what gratefulness is all about. Gratitude is defined as the recognition of benefits derived from something you received. We can be grateful for an event, very grateful for a gift, a favor, an opportunity, circumstances, grateful for the weather, etc. We can also be grateful as a general attitude toward life, seeing around the world around us in a positive and productive light when a normal reaction would not be gratefulness. On the inverse, one can show signs of gratefulness when they feel none. Gratitude is also about expressing thanks toward others. In the scripture Luke 17:15-19, there are 5 points that are made of gratitude that's centered around the 10 lepers. You see, all the lepers were blessed by Jesus with healing, and they should have been thankful. Every one of them should have turned back and given thanks, but you know what? They didn't. They were not grateful. Important points I would like to bring out is, number one, they all recognized their need. Their need had been met. They had all been healed. They now needed to turn back and give thanks and show gratitude. Number two, they showed humility. Perhaps the key to humility is seeing life as a journey towards cultivating those qualities that bring out the best in ourselves and others and make this world a better place. And this journey is not just for the average person. This journey is for all of us, but one that many of our greatest leaders have embarked upon. You remember Nelson Mandela, from his words, and I quote, "As I have said, the first thing is to be honest with yourself." Praise God. You can never have an impact on society if you have not changed yourself. Let me just repeat that. The first thing is to be honest with yourself. You can never have an impact on society if you have not changed yourself. Great peace for all people of integrity, of honesty, and humility. Praise God. Number three, they cried for mercy. They called Jesus Master, the one that has the power to meet their need. Their need was to be healed, both their physical bodies and their spiritual sin, which caused their disease. They showed perseverance. Jesus did not notice them immediately, He ignored their cry in order to test them. God tests us like that today. It's not just then. It is even today we are tested by God. He wanted them to continue to cry for mercy in order to show their sincerity, to build up their sense of need, just how desperate they were. Number five, they obeyed and believed. Look at this. Jesus could have healed them immediately, but there were some things that they had to do. They had to obey the law, go to the priest, and report that they had been cleansed. If they obeyed the law and believed the Lord's word, they would be cleansed and healed. Now let's look at us today. Question. In your opinion, had the nine lepers been spiritual cleansed as well as physical cleansed? Or was it a lack of being spiritual cleansed that kept them from returning to give thanks? I want you to think on that. Were they spiritually cleansed or were they physical cleansed? Or maybe were they both? Think about it. Or was Jesus just giving the one cleansed leper a strong assurance of salvation? We are not told. But there's one critical factor that is known. This man, one man, this Samaritan, was the grateful and thankful leper. He was the one that received assurance. He was the one that received assurance of being cleansed and forgiven of his sin. The other nine did not. They failed in being grateful and thankful. One more thing. Excuse me. One more thing. I think that is very important. Gratitude and praise bring assurance to the heart. It stirs Christ to speak to the human heart, giving assurance of acceptance cleansing. Gratitude is not what transfers in you. Your overall gratitude impacts your overall attitude. A grateful leader tends to be a great teacher. An ungrateful leader, well, never is. I find when my gratitude is high, I just lead better. I'm kinder and more compassionate. I'm less resentful and I'm less suspicious. Our overall gratitude impacts our overall attitude. So let us be grateful at all times for everything through our actions. Our attitude plays a big part in our everyday lives and can affect how our life may turn out in the future. If you decide to live with a negative attitude, always expecting the worst and never enjoying what you really have in your life, you'll find that your inner choices will reflect on the outside. Praise God, praise God. That's a true statement. Your attitude will reflect on the outside of how you are on the inside. However, and I pray that we all, if you have a good attitude, you will be the kind of person who works hard, is a believer in the fact that life is for living, and you will live the kind of life many would aspire to. Attitudes are feelings and beliefs that largely determine how people will perceive the environment, and it is one's attitude that will eventually lead to one's behavior and action. You see, our attitude has a lot to do with our behavior and how we act. actions call for dramatic change in our mind, our expression, our body. They call for movement for a destination. They require closing the gap between where you stand and where you imagine wanting to be. That's our actions. Our actions are usually a reflection of who we are. Our actions are usually a reflection of who we are. Praise God. Our actions should reflect what we profess to believe. We should act on our words. We should remember to always take the right actions, even when it's difficult. Certain that many of us have gone through some difficult times, but even with that, our actions, the right actions, will help us at that particular time. I'm sure you've heard of the saying, we should walk the walk and not only talk the talk. We should think very carefully before we act. We should treat others, the golden rule, the same way we ourselves would like to be treated. I want you to know, children and adults alike are always watching and learning from our actions. Remember that in everything we say and do, we are ambassadors for God. We are ambassadors for God. God has no hand, God has no feet, God has no mouth. But he has blessed us in his image to have this and to work on his behalf. And that we should do at every opportunity that we can. Finally, sometimes God tells us enough. Enough with the prayers. Now I need you to ACT. I need you to ACT. Act. The work we do represents God. So let's honor God in our actions, in our work, and in all we do. Take action. Always take steps to act with a purpose, so that your actions are in line with your values and who you are. Many people walk through life blindly with no real reason for what they do and why they do it. Instead, let us live with a sense of purpose so that we go through life knowing the effect we have on those around us and why we do the things that we do. Let us live with a sense of purpose. Always have a purpose to why you are doing what you are doing. Check it out first. Do some research and know what you are doing and why you are doing it, so that you can go through life knowing the effect that you have on those around you. And each and every day, we should be in that particular situation, because we never know who's watching us. We never have any idea who around us and hearing what we are saying and seeing what we are doing. For example, let's look at Walt Disney. His main purpose was to make people happy. If you have ever gone to Orlando, where Walt Disney is, you have seen how happy the people are, especially the children. They are very, very happy. So the next time you act, think of your purpose and improve your attitude while doing so. Remember Colossians 3:23, and I quote, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as though you were working for the Lord and not for people," because that is what we are made for, to work for God, not for people, but we are to show our actions so others can learn from what we are doing and what we are saying. Our actions lead to our activities. Activities are those everyday behaviors that we do. The mundane, no change, no gap closing initiatives. Activities are like merry-go-rounds. You're constantly moving, but making no forward progress. Have you ever been in that situation? I'm sure you as a child has rode a merry-go-round, and you know that it goes round and around and around. But you make no forward progress. We don't want to be in that situation. If you have something you need to get done and you are being putting it off because the result could go either way, the best thing for you to do is to improve your attitude, is to take the appropriate action required, and then let it go. Holding on, worrying, and wasting precious time, fretting will only put a downer on your attitude. If you remember that life is for living, life is for living, and that will be, then you can't go far wrong. 2 Peter, 1st chapter, verses 5 through 8, very reason. Make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brother affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Gratefulness leads to blessedness, which we may want to incorporate more of in our lives. You see, sisters and my brothers, being thankful changes us from within. From within, it helps us to achieve a better mindset. Look at happy and joyful people, and I can tell you that the happiest people are also the most grateful. If you are sad, try to count your blessings. Perhaps it's just a matter of changing your perspective in life. You've heard the song, Count Your Blessings, is a beloved gospel, a song to sing any day of the year to remind one of God's numerous blessings, especially during difficult times. It serves as a reminder that as believers, everything works for our good, and we are always fortunate. Johnson Oatman Jr. lived from 1856 until 1922. He is the author of that song. And during his career, he composed the words to over 5,000 gospels, tunes, and hymns. Many of his songs are still sung in churches to this day. Count Your Blessings, he included Me, Higher Ground, and No Not One, Unknown Attitudes. Well-known hymn, Attitudes of Gratitude, quote, we all have a tendency to cheat and indulge in self-pity, where we grumble about how tough life is and complain about all the things, relationships that we have not got. But if you reflect and focus on the blessings God has endowed you with, life will be miraculous. Appreciating life and all its little things, being grateful for the wonderful relationship, and have a heart full of gratitude will only attract more good things and love in your life. We will be like bees after honey. That's what our attitude should be. Bees stick to honey, and we should be that way toward our brothers and our sisters. Therefore, if you can't sleep, instead of counting sheep, Why don't you count your blessings? Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your blessings. I can assure you that no matter what situation you are in right now, there will always, and I say always, always, be something to be thankful for. So be thankful, not just for each other, but also thank you, God, our Father. Be thankful not just for the good times, but also for the bad times, because we will not always have good times. So praise God for the good times and praise God for the bad times, because God, our maker, if we're in that situation, he will bring us through. When life tells you to be bitter, envious, and depressed, choose to be thankful, because God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, God's Son, will enable us for the little things, the big things, everything. We should be thankful. Choose to be the Samaritan who returned and gave thanks. This Samaritan ran back and fell on his knees and yelled to the top of his lungs with the loudest voice, "Thank you. Thank you. Thank you." He was thankful. Where were the other nine? I don't know. They may have been home telling their wives about what they had done while they were away. They may have been grocery shopping. They may have been just relaxing. There's so many places that they could have been, but one place that they were not. They were not thanking the Almighty God for what he had done in their lives. They did not. I don't know if they had the courage or if they were just thankful for not being there. Stay tuned for the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. Thank you. Have a good evening. God bless you, and thank you for listening.
Yes, God bless you. We're listening to Amazing Grace by Aretha Franklin. Truly, that's an inspirational song. I thank the speaker so much. It is touching my soul and my heart. Good God Almighty. I'm stirred up. But I'm so glad that you tuned into the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. We can be heard on this radio station Monday through Fridays as well as Sunday mornings. Please join us and tune in as you sit back and relax as we go into the inner courts and we just praise our God. Again, you're listening to this segment of the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. If you would like to reach us, our email is ffmw.inc@verizon.net. Again, that's F like five, F like four, M like ministries, W like worldwide, .inc, I-N-C, at Verizon.net. I'm your host, Apostle Margie Mercer, and let us go back to the inner courts and listen to Aretha Franklin, Amazing Grace. Truly one of the speakers, beautiful, beautiful selection that she picked. It has truly stirred up my soul. You know, we love our Aretha Franklin and Amazing Grace. Let us enjoy. Amen. Telling you, it's nothing like that Amazing Grace. We thank God so much for you tuning in this evening. As you will get out your Bibles, we're going to finish looking at our text for today. We're going to look at Daniel chapter 3, verses 23 to 26. Again, get out those Bibles. We're going to make reference to Daniel chapter 3, verses 23 to 26. As I said always on each broadcast, this is our disclaimer that we don't own the rights to the music the artist does, but this is our promotional thing that we would like to do just to say to them we are grateful, we thank them that for the music that God has given them. It has been an inspiration, and to encourage those CD sales for you all to just tune in to those musics and rendition of songs that God has given them. It is a blessing. So this is our disclaimer. As we were speaking about yesterday, that so many times when we try to occupy and abase ourselves in God, especially when we try to do things that is right and we are different, you know, when you look different, talk different, dress different, maybe your church is different, eat different types of food, you have a tendency to go different places. It might be even the same place that you run into people sometime that try to manipulate and control or get you to bow down to them. In looking at our story about the three Hebrew men, some people say the three Hebrew boys, that because they objected to worshiping an idol, worshiping a man, a ruler, a king, and they believe in their God to be the only God, that they refused to bow down, that they were thrown into a fire. So many times that people, when they cannot control or manipulate or try to get you to do things their way, they become angry. You know, they say harsh things. Sometimes they do harm or pain to people, oppress, try to depress a person, say things out of their mouths that's not kind, to tear down their spirit, to point blame. And there are those bystanders that even try to justify their character about things that they think they know about the person. Have you ever had persons that in your life that say, oh, I know him or her, I remember when, or they're not this or that, and that they are the very ones that's pointing a finger at you with that same thumb is pointing back at themselves? And it's very sad because I have worked in situations, I said on yesterday, in domestic violence, that so many people has been under the hand of people who try to dominate and control them that they have become numb or silent to those things, and almost not even a person walking around as a zombie, that it takes a lot of love and encouragement. It takes a lot of word and prayer to bring them through. Oh, hallelujah. So we see here that these three men, as they were thrown into the fire, that they yelled out and said, Yahweh is gracious, that God is gracious, meaning that God is my helper. You know, he will fight your battles and he will show up. Yes, sometimes we do go through those hard times that could be draining. Yes, we go through things that tax our mind. Yes, things are heavy on our spirit. Whoo, glory. And there are times in our life that we could barely make it, get out the bed, dress ourselves, and even have a sleepless night. But I'll say again, but God, good God Almighty, but God, when he shows up, that no matter what we are going through, there is a solution, it will get better, and God got it in control. It may not seem like it, but in the end result, that God has it, and it will turn around for your good. When you are saved as a Christian, you can depend on God's word and his promises that it will come through when you're going through that pain. You know, and I was working also in counseling. I have a degree in counseling. I find a lot of people that when that pain comes into their body, when they deal with that type of abuse, not only does it become mental anguish, it becomes spiritual and emotional draining, that their physical man is just overwhelmed going up against this type of challenge. You know, it's so sad when you see little children just so stressed out. You see the little animals walk around looking desperate, that there's no food or water. You see even the elderly are reaching out for love, and they look so alone and lost, that look like the strength, the virtue have just gone out their body. Because not only sometimes, like I said, that people make them suffer, that there are those that have criticized, there are those who have made them feel unworthy or even loved. But, you know, we cannot let those things occupy our mind. We can't have things that come into our mind to try to dictate what we should do. You know, my Bible tells me to turn it over to God. Hey, leave it at the foot of the cross. Take it to our Savior. You know, that's what we need to do, that when we realize that there's nothing that we can do to fight the situation and we give it to God, oh, my God, as Aretha Franklin sung that song, Amazing Grace, will come in and that we will be victorious. Yes, we will. No matter how much you cry, no matter what you're going through, just give it over to God. Amen. So I want to listen to a song by Leandra Johnson, such a beautiful, beautiful singer. She sung the song on BET Network, And I'd like you to sit back and just listen to it. And the soulfulness of the truthfulness of that song is that she poured it out to God, and God did the rest. Amen.
In your soul. My sister Leandria is going to help me with this story. Take your time, sister. Mm-hmm. Sing it for somebody.
Deliver me.
Rescue me from myself.
All I seem to do is hurt me.
Anybody overthink a lot, overthink a lot. That hurts you. Uh-huh.
Hurt me.
That's right. Now let's take it up and cry out. Say. Take your time.
Because all I've been doing hurt me.
Anybody out there got that message?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Hurt me.
We should be finishing it, but I need you to just say it one more time.
Yes, we have to say thank you, Lord, in the middle of that storm and say, God, deliver me. You know, when you have done all that you can do, the Bible says stand and trust the Lord. You know, just as the Tri-City singers were singing, they were saying, God, deliver me, and that they love him so that they had to put their faith on the line, say, God, you promised me that you would never leave me or forsake me. You would never leave me, God. And just believe that he will be there to the very end. You have to believe his promises and his word, that he will deliver you. You know, the three Hebrew men believed that. They stood on their faith. They stood on the word. And can you imagine? David said, for God I live. Hey, hallelujah. And for God I die. Good God Almighty. Because they knew that their God is able. You have to get to a point in your life that you're not going to be oppressed. You're not going to be depressed. You're not going to be oppressed. You're not going to be pressed down by anything but the love of God. Because God loves you so much that he's able to do anything but fail. You know, God fights your battle. The battle is not yours. The battle belongs to God. And you remember that, that this battle is not yours. It belonged to the Lord. And that's what they did. They stood there believing that their God was able, even though that person said, if you bow down to me, because I have status, I have money, you know, I have a title, I have an upper hand, I'm this person or that, you know, like little tiny gods. But those men stood on the faith that they do not have the power of life or death in their hands. This king could not wake them up in the morning or put them to sleep at night. Good God Almighty. And that's how you got to feel. You have to stand up for yourself and say, God, I need you now. Good God Almighty, I need you to come in because I turn this battle over to you. I turn it to the foot of the cross. So let us listen to Yolanda Adams where she said, the battle is not yours. You know why? Because it belonged to God. Thank you so much for listening to the Fivefold Ministry Broadcast. That you have to have faith, no matter what you're going through, that God can and shall deliver you. You know, in that fire with the three Hebrew boys, a fourth man showed up that the king had to recognize that somebody else was in that fire, and he said that it looks like God. And he said, this looks like that this is God. It is the angel of the Most High God. Read it for yourself in Daniel chapter 3, verses 23 to 26. I'm so stirred up listening to this. I can barely talk Because when I think about the goodness of Jesus, how he died for me, his death, burial, and resurrection gave us power. You know that regardless what pit we walk through, regardless that we have to face the enemy face to face, we have to deal with people growling in negative situation, that our God is able. Remember the story of Daniel when he was in the lion's den, that he had to face the same thing. I'm sure fear came over him. I'm sure that he was all distraught, that he just had his back against the wall. But you know what? He stood on his faith. He stood his ground. He trusted God at his word. I always say, if God can't do it, then it just cannot be done. God is your strength. He is your refuge. He is your strong tower. Just trust him and see that he's able. God loves you so much that his love, his grace is sufficient for thee. And if you look at 1 Corinthians verses 12 and 9, it says that God's grace is sufficient for us. I'm still talking to God because I know that the power, the deliverance, the healing, and even the blessings is in God because of his love. I want to play another tune at this time because, you know, I'm a person that I reverence God through music as well as the word. This is the way that I love to reverence my God, and I hope it is for you because, you know, we need to play those songs that have inspired us, play those songs that have encouraged us and took us through. I remember when I was a little girl, I was listening to the songs that my grandmom and my mom played, and truly, hearing the love of God made a difference in my life that I became saved and called on him one evening in my mother's kitchen. I said, God, come into my heart, fill my heart, and save me. And he's been with me ever since I was that young girl, that he stood by me. I may not have always been perfect. I've been through many a storms, and I have made some wrong decisions in my life, but God was able that he brought me through. That was a test of my faith and to see if I would walk with God. I was challenged, but guess what? I came out victorious and firm because I believe God. Love is sufficient for me. So let us listen to William Murphy, Your Love, as we get ready to wrap up our broadcast. We would encourage you to listen to us tomorrow right here on this radio station. Again, this is the Fivefold Ministry Worldwide Broadcast. We heard all over the world, and we thank Archbishop for the opportunity to do this broadcast. God bless you again, and let us sit back and abase ourselves and reverence our Lord a little bit more. Your Love by William Murphy.
Put your hand on your neighbor and say, you have been touched. Put your hand on them and say, you have been touched. Changed. Healed. Baby, totally free from sin. Say that again. Totally free from
Yes, yes, yes. William Murphy said that God is our deliverer. And I want to say to you this evening that God is your deliverer. If God can't do it, it just can't be done. When you confess with your mouth from your whole heart and you godly sorrow for your sins, and you can say, God, I messed up. I know I've did some things that you're not pleased with. I'm asking you to forgive me of my sins. Nobody is perfect, God. I'm asking you to come into my heart and fill me with that precious gift of your Holy Spirit, that I believe that Jesus died for me. He is the Son of God. He is our Savior and my Lord. God, I do believe in that death, burial, and resurrection. Save my soul and fill me afresh, God, with your Holy Spirit. When you confess that with your mouth, you are saved. And as I've always said, I read in the newspaper, I've been telling you all to pray for China. And I read that about China and Taiwan and this United States. So I'm asking you to keep this in prayer. You know, we hear war and rumors of wars. But if all of us get together, where two or three are gathered, God in the midst. So let us pray for peace, worldwide love and fellowship for those who's fighting abroad. Let us pray for Russia and Ukraine. And let us pray even for the nations all over the world so that we can dwell together as brothers and believers. Again, let us pray for China, Taiwan, and as we end out our broadcast, always with our favorite tune, which is Jeff Majors and Psalms 23, know that God is your shepherd. You shall not want, and you have no need to want when you trust in the blood of Calvary. Amen. That Jesus died for you. Amen. God bless you. Be listening to you again. Hope that you will tune in again and that we can break bread and fellowship. Again, this is the Fivefold Ministry Broadcast. Be blessed and have a nice evening.